At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Gavrilek, who's unmarked as he streaks away into an open goal.
Hit the boundary line.
Oh, the post is broken. Matthews in it.
Boy, oh boy, wow-wee. He shoots towards goal. What more can you say?
The AFL season is coming to a very big finish, but the final road to the draft, we are just getting on and we are back. My name is Jordan Pinto. I'm here with Dan Batten. We are back for the draft, the special AFL draft edition of the Herald Sun Footy podcast. We'll be here with you every week for the next 3 months until the big couple of nights of draft action in November. Plenty to talk about, plenty of names to go through, plenty of whispers to discuss. Dan Batten, welcome back to the drafts.
Great to be here, Jordan. Change to you, obviously you in South Australia, me in Victoria. It's been good to actually watch some footy down here in Victoria. Obviously, the last 2 years of draft have been affected by COVID, but plenty of footy here. And have you seen the Rising Star results at all? How's Jason Horne-Francis going there, Jordan?
Well, yes, if you did listen to some of our episodes last year ahead of the 2021 draft, you will know that I was fiercely on the Jason Horne-Francis side of the number one pick debate. Dan Batten was fiercely on the Nick Daicos side of the number one pick debate, and I have to concede that one. I think poor Jason Horne-Francis has been, been judged pretty harshly. It's been a very interesting year for him on and off the field. Still think he's going to be a great player. Nick Daicos, obviously, probably even exceeded your expectations, I think, what he's been able to produce. So, playing different roles, but I'm happy to concede that just for now. You're probably right on that one, but I still think you definitely cannot write off Jason Horne-Francis as a player once he settles in the AFL environment.
Yeah, you certainly can't. And he's obviously going to be a superstar in the future. Just had a pretty tough first year, and it's a pretty tough club to be at for anyone, let alone a number one draft pick. But yeah, obviously Daicos playing in a different role there. But I think I even conceded towards the end of last year that Jason Horne-Francis was ahead. I did sort of say what could have been if Daicos had have been able to play, show his wares at VFL level or even international championships matches. I think he would have probably gone ahead of Jason Horne-Francis. Obviously, that's easy to say in hindsight, but his first year has been absolutely outstanding. And there's been some great other first years as well. But I think that sort of leads into, with Daicos' hot form, another father-son who has just, taken this year by storm in Will Ashcroft, who's nominated for the Lions.
Indeed. So let's forget about last year, as you mentioned. I'll let you have that one. But we are here going to be back for the next 3 months. It is called the draft. We're going to go through a lot of names. We're going to debate a lot of players. So hopefully draft enthusiasts out there, stick with us. It'll be an interesting, a bumpy and exciting road to November's draft. We'll take a look at a topic each week, our top 10 lists of different positions, different players, different states. We'll have some big guests on to hopefully some AFL recruiters joining us to give us inside word on their plans and their thoughts on the draft. Ball on today's show, though, we are going to have a look at the mature age prospects in the 2022 draft. Obviously, a few picked up in the mid-season draft and a few late last year as well. So we'll have a look at that very shortly to kick things off, though, as we will every week. What caught your eye over the weekend, and what did you see? What do you see that I might have not seen over there in Victoria? I've got a couple of things, a couple of interesting little tidbits from over here in the Sandful. You talk about Will Ashcroft, though, I think, off the top. Is that where you're going in this next segment?
Yeah, I think so. And it's a fitting way to start considering how he's gone this year, and he is the clear number one pick contender at the moment. But he just showed it again why he is so highly touted. With his third VFL game of the season, racked up 32 disposals, 6 clearances, 6 inside 50s, and kicked a goal against Sandringham Zebras there out at Sandringham. And it sort of raises the question now, considering George Wardlaw has also, who was essentially the other contender. Obviously, he was best on in the AFL Academy game earlier in the year, which showed the obviously the best top, like best 30 prospects up against Collingwood's VFL side. And Wardlaw and Ashcroft were both great on that day, but Wardlaw was arguably the best on ground and got the medal. But with Wardlaw having gone down with a hamstring injury, he returned in an APS game for St. Kevin's in their grand final against Caulfield. And he was, you know, given the all clear to return by the medicos. And about 2 minutes in, that lingering hamstring injury sort of hit him again. He was ruled out for the rest of the match. So I think he will be awaiting some more calls. He's got an appointment next week, Oakley said, to check out what's wrong there. And when he can return, it hasn't been classed as a long-term injury or anything that will affect him into the future. So nothing to really worry there. But it's just really, I guess, proves now that Ashcroft doesn't really have too many contenders. Another one potentially is Elijah Sardis, who's returned in the last 2 weeks. He had a foot injury early in the year, and that sort of has ruled him out for the entire championships. He will be able to play that final game on September 22 against Vic Country there, but he's another Oakley Chargers product. He's probably a more of a balanced midfielder, but he's in some pretty good form in his last two games since coming back from injury at school level, and should be back for a big clash, which we'll get to a bit later, for the last home and away round in the NAB League. But Jordan, just quickly on that number one pick debate, who do you have currently leading it, and how far is the gap between Ashcroft and Wardlaw, as you say at the moment?
Well, I've probably got Harry Lemmy just above Will Ashcroft, I think, at the moment. That was going to be the thing leading into the year. That's probably a topic for another show, Harry Lemmy and what's happened to him this year. The SA key forward, highly touted, has fallen away big time in 2022. So we'll discuss that at a later point. But no argument from me on Will Ashcroft there. You've shown what he's done at every level he's played at. Step up, dominated the champs games, dominated VFL level against the men. He couldn't do much more. I guess the only question now, you know, is he better than Nick Dacos? Is he better than Sam Walsh, Matt Rowe? He's putting up similar numbers to those guys who have come out of the NAB League in recent years, a number one pick. So interesting to see what happens there, but the Lions are going to get a good one in him. So no argument with D. There'll be no debate, no betting, I don't think, on the number one pick this year. Tassardis is someone I do like. A lot of high-end traits with him, like his breakaway speed and what he does away from the contest too when he breaks out. So he's one I do like. Wardlaw, as you mentioned, the hamstrings, I think are probably a bit of a worry. I think some clubs would be concerned that's happened again. He's broken down, given the soft tissue nature of it. But is Tassada's probably his potential to be a better player than Wardlaw? I think Wardlaw just gets the job done. He's going to be sort of your safest houses pick, but do you think Tassardis can be something more?
Yeah, it's a good question. Even I went to a game earlier in the year. I think Wardlaw had been knocked around by a bit of illness in that game. So he was playing a bit of forward, showed he could play well as a forward. And I don't think he is just your inside battering ram. I think he does have some good speed and can have an impact up forward as well. He has been likened to Clayton Oliver. And I think that he will be a contested ball animal in the future. Even when he was playing NAB League at 16, 17, he was winning high-end contested possessions, high-end tackles. But, yeah, obviously we haven't been able to see too much of it. Whereas Sardis is probably more your outside finisher at the moment. You saw last year Finn Callahan, I think he has like similar speed, maybe not as much agility, but you know, Sardis does come from an elite running background as well. So I probably have Wardlaw ahead at this stage, but I think Sardis is definitely in that top five conversation at the moment and could even thrust himself ahead of the likes of Wardlaw or even Harris Sheezel or Jai Clark. Going into the back of the year with a strong end to his campaign.
Yep, she's was one I like, but we'll talk about more of those top five. It's time to get over here, South Australia. You hold the first half of the show on your Victorians. It was a wet weekend over here in South Australia, just gone. Unley Oval, the beautiful Unley Oval, a lot of big names have graced that. Sturt play there, and Nick Sadler, SA midfielder, who was pretty good at the national championships. A disappointing carnival for the Crow Eaters, but he was one that probably enhanced his standing slightly, pushed his name a little bit further up some draft boards. The way he won the ball through the midfield, exploded away, always on the move, quick feet for him. And on the weekend, it was an absolute bog at Unley Oval. It's a beautiful ground, Dan. If you ever get over here, it was absolute bog. There was mud everywhere, water everywhere, and he was everywhere too. So he had 31 touches, two goals, 196 champion data ranking points. So he's come out the champs. He's played well again, just at the bottom of every pack. And he's a one-take player, gets the ball and breaks away. So he was one I really liked from the weekend's action in the same game, actually, if there's any Crows fans listening out there. If you don't know already, Tyler Welsh, son of former forward, also played for North Melbourne, Scott Welsh, whole host of South Australians that come through the under-16 champs in the All-Australian side. So a good crop next year for SA. He booted four goals, something for Crows fans to look out for. But Dan, you looked at a couple of other under-17 games. There was some interesting, there was a couple of games last week that a few of the prospects from next year were put on display.
Yeah, that's right. So it wasn't all of the best of the under-17s as such. You didn't have
No SA. You organised the game and you didn't invite the Crow Eaters again.
Yeah. Because there's no talent. No, of course not. There is obviously quite a lot of talent in South Australia. But yeah, it was a bit of an odd one. It was so Vic Metro, Vic Country, Queensland and New South Wales, ACT, playing a couple of matches out near our work colleague Tim Mitchell there in Craigieburn. Always very cold and windswept over there. But one of the guys who I thought really impressed for Vic Metro was Will Lawrence. Kicked three goals and had 32 touches. Obviously, that's in 25 minutes with no time on. So 32 is pretty much like a 35 or 40 disposal game in an AFL sense. Also, Lance Morris, six contested marks and five goals too. This was admittedly against a sort of a weaker side, but one to have a look at the 2024 draft as well.
Yeah, for
Queensland. Yeah,
Leo Lombard. This show is called The Draft as well. So we're not just focused on this draft, we're focused on anything draft this year, next year, mid-season, rookie, national, whatever. So tell us, sorry, about your 2024, man.
That is right. That is right in our wheelhouse. But yeah, Leo Lombard, Suns Academy prospect, was an All-Australian at the under-16 carnival early in the year. He led the way for Queensland, 26 touches, 118 ranking points, highest ranked Queensland player on the ground. So, and he was only 15 playing in that game against a host of 17-year-olds. As I said, it wasn't a lot of the better players. This is more of a tryout for the AFL All-Stars Futures game, which will be a curtain raiser on grand final day. But yeah, very impressive for a 15-year-old to be racking up that much of the footy, and he's certainly one who will be, you'd think, a fairly sought-after pick in 2024.
Speaking of racking up the ball, he didn't play in the Eagles-Sturt game, which I just mentioned over here. Nick Sadler dominated in, but he played in the reserves at the level above the under-18s, below league footy over here in South Australia. Eagles gun, SA gun, Adam DeLoyer, who keeps racking up the ball in every level of footy he plays in. We saw him come out as a bottom major against WA last year at the champs or the revised championships and dominate. He's dominated again at under-18 level this season at reserves level. On the weekend, I think he had another 29 touches, 172 ranking points, 18 contested possessions, 10 tackles. He's averaging 150 ranking points, 30 disposals for the Eagles at under-18 level this season when he was down there before getting that promotion up a grade. But he couldn't do much more. Now, he's still quite high in the draft standing, but there is some concerns, I guess, over his lack of foot speed, his lack of ability to hurt oppositions going forward. But I'm not sure. There's not too many guys that do what he does so well. He's elite at what he does, is what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. And there's been talk about his comparison to Jack Graham, who was a former SA captain like DeLoyer was, won plenty of the footy, was a mature body for his age against the other kids. So, but Jack Graham's turned out to be a pretty good player. So I think it's probably pretty unfair on him. Not sure if you've seen much of Adam DeLoyer, probably did last year as well, but is that comparison fair? And are we too harsh to judge players like this just because they are a bit more mature? What he does is elite, and that's what a lot of people don't have. They're not elite at something. So I'm still pretty big on him.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, you look at, there's been some top 25s happening across the country at the moment.
Yep.
And he hasn't been in too many at the moment. I think it is for those, probably for those reasons that you mentioned, about the potential lack of leg speed and maybe his ball use. But, you know, even in the championships, he was bobbing up and kicking key goals up forward. He was always at the bottom of the pack, you know, dishing out the handball, as you said. And he was one of the, I think he was one of the higher ranking points and disposals, contest possessions, all those sorts of things.
Second
the
only, I think,
well.
To Will Ashcroft, I think, I believe, second rank for ranking points.
Which is significant. I mean, I don't think he, I think he's definitely in the top 35 I would have him in. But, yeah, and if he slides any further, then he becomes a bargain, I feel. Someone who can win the footy that naturally. Obviously, clearance, contest possessions is so important. Mm. In this game, we've seen, you know, even a guy like George Hewitt who's come over to the Blues, how much of an impact he's had. And you might, and some may pigeonhole him as being too slow and that sort of thing. And I think with DeLoyer as well, he brings leadership. He's, you know, he's a natural leader. Was he captain? He was captain of the Crow Eaters, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And like he leads by example on field as well. So I think that should be taken into account. I don't think he should be judged too harshly. And I think another thing, just quickly on that, I think that the South Australian comp, I mean, he even saw what Tom Scully did earlier in this year, booting 40 goals in 8 games or whatever. But I feel like the SA comp is judged very harshly. And sometimes these guys are overlooked from South Australia for guys from Victoria who maybe haven't played as much or are playing private school footy, for instance. So, yeah, it's a really interesting debate. And I think anyone who gets maybe a Nick Sadler or an DeLoyer, it could be for a little bit, I guess, you could be getting him later than they probably deserved, just on their stats and what they're putting out week in, week out.
Yeah, and DeLoyer's also played well at every level when he's gone up. He's made the adjustment and he hasn't just competed. He's actually played well and dominated at those different levels. So you talk about bob up, it's a bit like maybe about how Jared Lyons bobs up everywhere when he's been at his best for Brisbane. I think that's a little bit maybe what Adam DeLoyer turns into potentially, probably has a bit more in his kicking than a Jared Lyons, but interesting one to watch come November. Dan, let's take a quick break here on the drafts, the bonus Herald Sun footy podcast edition, talking all things AFL draft. We'll be back. We'll talk about the mature ages, plenty of names to consider and to watch out for November's draft. Welcome back to the Herald Sun footy podcast, the drafts edition. Jordan Pinto and Dan Batten with you. We talked about mature ages before. Everyone loves a mature ages. They can have an instant impact at your club. Fantasy players, KFC super coaches love mature age players. A few were picked up in the mid-season draft. They've already had an impact. Josh Carmichael, Jai Menzies debuted for Essendon as well. So they can have an impact, but there's still a few left over, Dan. There's a few over here in the Sandford and, of course, a few over there from the VFL and maybe some overage NAB League players. Who sticks out? We're going to have a yarn, I think, online, heraldsun.com.au, advertiser.com.au very, very soon. If you check it out now, it might be up. But sneak peek at that. Who are you most excited about in the mature age bracket? And who do we think is going to have a chance to be picked up?
Well, a couple of guys out of my neck of the woods, out in the east of Victoria, out of east of Melbourne, and a couple of guys who I did like at the end of last year, in Corey Preston and Tyrese Lue. Corey Preston had previously been playing as a forward, but also running half back as well. Has moved to Williamstown. He's sort of playing across half back. Wasn't really getting much interest towards the middle of the year, but he's moved into a role as an inside midfielder, and he's just been able to show off his agility, speed, and his really impressive ball use over the past few weeks, and he's generating a fair bit of interest late. So that's definitely one to watch for the end of the year. And Tyrese, similarly, has had he was a train-on player with Carlton at the start of the year. Got a really untimely injury about 2 weeks before the SSP supplemental selection period finished. So that was poor timing for him. But he's come back from that injury and just gone from strength to strength. A key back, really athletic, got good speed, and he's outshining some AFL-listed players down there as a centre-half back. So he's another one to keep an eye on. Fergus Green.
He even played a bit of inside midfield late last NAB League season, Tyrese, at some point. Did he?
Have that string in his bow as well that he can play as an inside mid. He's 194 centimetres, but he does move. Yeah, absolutely, and does move well. And we know that Carlton are after we saw with their backline struggles and their shortage of key defenders. So that'll be one to watch to see if they pluck him out of their VFL program. But another few to mention, Fergus Green, a former Bulldog. He's leading the Frosty Miller Medal for the leading goal kicking in the VFL. He's kicked 49-15, which is pretty good going. And who knows if Jack Gunston gets poached by the Hawks, could they turn to a guy like Fergus Green from their VFL program like they have with Newcomb and others in the past? Corey Wagner is another one who I didn't expect to be getting a third shot at the AFL ranks. He's moved, has been a positional switch for him as well, moved down back. Become a really damaging running defender. So there's just a few to watch. Who are the guys from the sample? Obviously, the state combine list has been named, which with them some mature ages in there. Who are you? Who do you think is a chance from the sample to be picked up in the end of year drafts?
Corey Wagner, he said 25 there. The same with Green, a little bit older. The oldest player to receive a state combine invite was from North Adelaide, Frank Zekeli, who's the younger brother of former Port listed midfielder forward Wade Thompson. If you remember, I think it's Supercoach favourite then at one point, but he's been on the radar for a little while. He came across, he was part of Port Adelaide's Indigenous Academy early on. He started his career at North as a small forward. He's 22 now, but he's been used across halfback and on a wing. He's got great speed, great foot skills, and he just looks sure. He just looks like an AFL player. If you watch him play, he sets up play across halfback, but he's damaging forward to centre too, as he showed. Kicked 3 goals from a wing a couple of weeks ago against Glenelg, bursting through the middle of Glenelg over down there at the bay, kicking long as well. So he's got some high-end traits that AFL clubs do like, and he's been invited. So we know that at least two interested clubs have to nominate you if you're going to get a state combine invite. Mm-hmm. So there could be a few more interested on him. Definitely looks an AFL player for mine. Another one you might know from over there, Bain and Lowe, who was runner-up in the Tassie Devils, NABLing best and fairest last year, made the move over to South Australia at the end of the year, plays for Nord. In the Sandful, was a hard-working midfielding, averaged high 20 disposals last year in the NAB League. But his forward craft and his goal sense has really shown up over here. He's playing as a small forward. He's booted 18 goals, 10 in 13 matches. And he just kicked them from everywhere. He kicked them from the boundary line, kicked them out of midair, off hands in a big marking contest, been nominated for goal of the week twice. So he's done some really good things inside 50, 19 years old, just overlooked last year. So he's another sample player who's been invited to the state combine in October, as Tom Emmett as well. He's one from Sturt, come through the ranks, but really just showing what he has to offer. He's put himself on the AFL radar, been overlooked in the past two drafts, played a bit of under-18 footy and played in some of the under-18 trial games for SA, but didn't really get a look in. But he's really made his mark this year. Booted 12 goals in the last 5 rounds, 3 of them against a strong Crows defence, Crows reserves defence, and time one-on-one with Billy Frampton too. So he attacks the ball hard. He marks at his highest point. He's 186 centimetres, but he plays taller than he is, and it makes him a tough matchup because he's pretty good at ground level as well. So Tom Emmett, one to watch there. A couple other names, Rhett Montgomery as well, an intercept defender. And We can't talk about sample mature ages, Dan, if we don't talk about Casey Voss.
Got to bring him up.
The guy who Martin Matner, Sturt coach, we've probably said this quote 5-6 times on the show last year, but said Voss is one of the smartest players ever seen play the game, ever. So not he. We know Marty Matner's been in the AFL system a long time before going back and coaching Sturt. So it's a pretty big call for him, but we thought he was going to get picked up in the mid-season draft. And then he was overlooked. He's gone back to the sample. He's averaged 23 disposals, 130 ranking points in the past 9 matches. So potentially someone does give him a chance. He couldn't do much more, Dan. Plenty of players like that, though, I guess, who just have their cards marked almost for something they don't do right.
Yeah, it's an interesting one with Voss. Obviously, even with Michael Voss being in the in the coaching scene now as well. But yeah, Casey Voss is, I mean, obviously he won that the medal in the SA versus WA game earlier in the year. That was, it almost looked like that could be the, you know, the catalyst for an AFL berth, but obviously it wasn't to be. But, you know, it's, he's put that behind him and, yeah, he's performing really well. So, I mean, yeah, as you said, it's a pretty big claim that he's the smartest player to ever have played the game. But, yeah, even speaking of some hot form, I mean, Fergus Green, so obviously a former Bulldog who I mentioned just before, he's in 3 of his last 4 games, he's booted 5 goals or more, and he's been deadly accurate as well. I think he's about 18-3 in that period. And Box Hill coach Clint Proctor has you know, likened him to a guy like Bailey Fritsch who did get his chance as a mature ager as well through the the Casey Demons, and even liken him to a little bit to a kind of a Jack Gunston type. So he's definitely improved since leaving the AFL ranks, and obviously didn't receive a combine invite. But yeah, I think he's certainly one of the better forwards in the VFL. And just another one that I forgot to mention, Ethan Phillips. Averaging a ridiculous 11.5 intercept marks per game. 5.1 intercept marks per game, 11.5 intercepts per game. In one
really
game,
he's sold in there to me. Upsold in there.
Yeah, a little bit. But no, obviously a couple of clubs have been interested in him. Ethan Phillips from Port Melbourne, 198 centimetre key defender. But obviously we'll have all those mature ages for you. We'll have a full list of about over 25. So that should be fun to sort of look over them and just, yeah, I guess it is one of the best parts of the drafts is seeing these mature age guys thrive.
Yeah, and the list is, you know, it's going to cover guys who in the conversation for this year's national draft, potentially even for the following year's mid-season draft as well. Just putting the name on the draft radar, but you talk about Green, it's so many players, so many forwards that do a lot right. They still can't kick for goal. So if he can do that, there's another little smoky on the sample list, former Sydney Swans Academy member, Hamish Ellum, who plays for West Adelaide here in the sample. Elite speed for a big man, dropped some weight as well. I think in his draft, he was over 106 kilos, really come down in the 90s, low 90s. Now for him, kick 4 goals on the weekend, 4 goals straight, beautiful left foot kick for goal. So simple thing. Sometimes they are overlooked. So he can do that. He does what a forward should do and kick goals. So just one to watch. He'll feature on the list. But as Dan said, heraldsun.com.advertiser.com.au for the full list of guys in conversation for the draft this year and next year in the mid-season. Another segment on the show, which we'll bring you every week, the Whisper, Dan, or what to watch for. What are you hearing or what are we going to watch for this weekend over in Victoria? Plenty happening, but it's all winding down a little bit. Last week of NAB League action, last week of sample, minor round action over here as well. What are we going to watch for? What am I going to watch for over here? What do you think we'll be talking about here on next week's show?
I think there's going to be a fair few recruiters at this game, Sandringham Dragons versus Oakley Chargers. So to put that in perspective, the National Combine, there's 67 players invited by, I think that's more than 4 clubs nominate them to test at the National Combine. So Sandringham Dragons have 6 combine invites while Oakley has 9. So that's 15 National Combine invites hopefully on the same field. Obviously, no George Wardlaw there, but plenty of talent that's likely to fill the AFL ranks next year. But and the midfield battle is what I'm really looking forward to. You got probably Elijah Sardis and Alan Davey Jr. Still hasn't committed yet to as an Essendon father son, but you certainly would expect him to. So Sardis and Alan Davey Jr. versus the likes of Sheasel, Cam McKenzie, who's elevated himself to be in that sort of top 5 to 10 range, and of course Will Ashcroft as well if he doesn't play VFL footy. Also another one to watch out for, Hawks father son Jerome Lawrence, who's had a solid season as an overager for the Chargers. He is back from a hip issue. He's been out for sideline for sort of the back half of the year with that. So he'll be back, and he was among those invited to the state combine. And he'll be on our mature ages right up as well. Obviously, a Hawks father son, as I said, I think the son of Steve Lawrence. So yeah, certainly that's going to be a high on the agenda for all in the draft scene. That game, the final home and away round, absolute bumper clash between the Dragons and the Chargers. What's happening up there in Adelaide, Jordan? And who should we be watching out for?
Well, we'll come back. I've got a big question. We'll come back after one more break. But on the show going forward, this is where we'll take your listener questions. So if you do have a question for shows coming up, anything AFL draft related, and get at us, leave your question at Dan Batten _ and at Jordan Pinto with a 0. We'll answer. We'll try to get through most of them on the show in the coming weeks. But I've got a big one I'm going to ask myself. Actually, Dan, for the first show, one, an interesting one,
Mr. I think, Popular,
from a guy that you want to know about. So we'll be back after the break. As we said, this will be where you can ask us the questions, anything you want to know about players, who might suit your club, who your club might be looking at. Plenty to discuss, and we'll save time each week on the drafts for your questions. But, Dan, I've got one. Where is Billy Dowling? Now, do you know who Billy Dowling is, Dan, over there? And this is, goes back to the SA Victoria debate. I hope you do know who Billy Dowling is. Just quickly, do you know who Billy Dowling is?
I do know who he is. He is a midfielder for South Australia. I thought he was quite impressive at the championships. A bigger body, find plenty of the footy, and you haven't stopped talking about his 44-4. The other week in the sample.
If someone in the NAB League had 44 touches and 4 goals, 268 ranking points, which is what Billy Dowling, playing for North Adelaide in the under-18s a couple of weeks ago, it would make headlines for 2 weeks if someone did that. I don't think anyone's done that over in the NAB League this year. It was an incredible individual performance, probably the best of this season under-18 level, but wasn't playing last week in under-18 level. Obviously, you mentioned the school footy over in Victoria, college footy over here in South Australia. He captained St. Peter's College. He was playing an important game for them on the weekend. They've got a big Intercol clash coming up in a couple of weeks, which I'm sure he'll definitely be playing for St. Peter's. And North, top of the table in under-18s too. So they'll want him back, but St. Peter's will probably take him. But we should see him hopefully back in the last minor round game, which is this weekend. North, he'll be back for North Adelaide. So interesting to see if he can back it up at sample level. 44-4, it's some huge numbers, and he was pretty good at their under-18 carnival. So he's definitely one to watch, and definitely one who's put his name and he's rising up the draft boards. A bit of a bolter, I guess. We weren't talking about him much leading into the season, but he's had some big form, and he's a great size, as you mentioned. Of course, always a few concerns. I think you've got a couple on him potentially.
Not so much concerns. I mean, just probably areas that he could improve, and why there may be other midfielders ahead of him. I mean, like potentially a little bit of a little flag on his kicking. But I mean, obviously, if you're winning the footy, if you're winning that much of the footy, and kicking 4 goals, you're clearly having a big impact. But yeah, I mean, I'm finding it pretty hard to assess these SA midfielders. Obviously, there's almost like a bit of a tax that goes on Sample under 18s, as I mentioned, with the sort of Tom Scully factor, yeah. That, you know, these kids can win so much of the footy, but they're almost marked down a bit when maybe in the NAB League, you got a Jai Clark, for example, winning 30 touches and a goal, and that's, you know, put on a pedestal. So it's an interesting, you know, debate. And we've seen so many in the Sample senior comp in particular be almost like a mature age feeder program for the AFL in recent years. So it probably does get marked a little bit harshly. But, you know, the thing with Billy Dowling, he was able to stack up and win, you know, some good numbers at championships level as well. So it's not like he's just a flat track bully. He's been able to do it on the national stage, which I think will hold him in good stead going forward.
Yeah, for sure. But you're right, definitely does probably lack a little bit of polish, and it puts a few off. But he's one interesting to see what happens over the next couple of weeks. A big final series potentially for North Adelaide could raise him again. Obviously, a great leader, respected leader at North, and then at St. Peter's too. So, interesting one to watch. As we said, this will be your segment on the drafts going forward. So hit us up on Twitter at Dan Batten _ at Jordan Pinto with a 0. But Dan, good to be back. Plenty, as we mentioned, some big things to watch for this weekend, some big games. Then we'll be into finals, we'll be into the draft combine. Forget the AFL season. That'll wrap up shortly. The real season's almost here. It's draft season. Dan, it's good to be back though.
Yeah, awesome to be back. And yeah, I mean, the talk really has been that, I guess, the top 10, it's fairly set in stone, you'd say, at the moment. But there's plenty of movement beyond that. And even within the top 10, who knows if we can have some bolters like a Bailey Humphrey, for instance, from Gippsland Power. So really looking forward to it. And yeah, it's great to have draft back. Yeah, and great to be back chatting drafts once again. I mean, as you said, there's plenty of rivalry between the Victorians and South Australians, but who knows? Those South Australian boys could definitely push up with some strong form towards the end of the year. So yeah, looking forward to it. And yeah, plenty of movement, plenty happening in the draft space. So make sure you stay tuned to the drafts, and we'll keep you updated.
Yeah, we'll stay tuned for our Harry Lemmy edition. We'll probably take one episode to discuss what has happened.
Chronicles.
But as you mentioned, yeah, we'll have some big guests on over the coming weeks. We'll talk about the top 10 as it is, the bolters, the fours. We'll break it down in every way that we can. And we did last year on the website. We'll discuss it here in podcast edition. Again, looking forward to that. Looking forward to the footy this weekend, Dan, and plenty to talk about, I think, on the next episode of the drafts. We hope fellow draft enthusiasts out there can join us next week and going forward, and we'll catch you then.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.